for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, December the 28th, 2002. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Howard Pittman of Foxworth, Mississippi, is the speaker. Some of you are acquainted with Brother Howard Pittman, and the rest of you, you meet him for the first time this evening. He's been gracing this place with his presence for about 10 or 12 years, maybe even longer. He's just got marked down in his calendar that he belongs over here these days between Christmas and New Year's for a couple of three days. And I just thank him and I appreciate him for putting us on his calendar. And I called him one time and asked him about it. He said, well, I just thought I was just supposed to be there. And I said, amen, that's what I think too. And so it's a privilege this evening to have Brother Howard come and minister to us. Now, he's got a wonderful testimony, and some of you have heard it and some of you haven't, and he'll probably tell you a little bit of that, but then he can come here and minister and teach things that he doesn't teach in other places, and I appreciate him coming here and doing that so we can hear what God is showing him in the hour that we live in, and I appreciate that. And he's going to be ministering it to us in the evenings here while he's here. And so Brother Howard Pittman, come and bless us with the word. And I appreciate you so much for coming up when we had the service for Irma. I thank you for that.
Bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord. We bring you greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is our pleasure to be back with you again here. And it's just like coming home. I'm singing that song tonight, I'll Go With You. It reminded me of a place in the Bible where a lot of people wanted to go with Jesus. And he said, the foxes have their holes and the birds have their nests. But the Son of Man hath not a place. And the Bible said, and many turned away then. They didn't want to follow him that bad. We have entered into what I believe Jesus himself called the beginnings of sorrows in Matthew 24, verse 4 through 8. He talked about the beginning of sorrows, which is a pre-tribulation period of time, which I believe is going to be very. We have entered into the darkest hour of our nation's history up until this point. But as the old saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. Will you join me as we open in prayer? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and deliver the words that you have placed in our heart. And Lord, we just ask that you be in charge of this meeting tonight, that every word said, every deed done, every thought passed on, may each and every one of them serve to bring glory to the kingdom of God. May you be completely in charge of everything that's said here tonight. Keep us, Lord, from making any mistake or misstep. Rebuke the devourer that he not be able to interfere with anything that's said or done or misunderstood. Anything may it not be misunderstood here tonight, that it be glory to the kingdom of God. Thank you for our nation. We pray for our leaders that you might endow them with special wisdom, that you might remove the blinders from the eyes of so many of them who seem to be leading us into total and complete chaos. Lord, we know that you are sovereign, and we know that you're in charge of everything, that nothing, no matter how small or how large, has escaped you. Lord, we pray for wisdom that we too might understand each step. Thank you, Father. In your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I think it's absolutely essential for each and every one of us to be prepared to the best of our ability to meet the challenge of this final great battle that's facing the church. We know that God is the same today that He was yesterday, that He will be tomorrow. We know that He's unchanging, that He never changes. And He's laid out for us a complete roadmap of what He has done, what He will do, what He's doing now. All of this is in His Word. I grew up in a very religious family, so to speak. Every time the church door was open, we were there, all of us. We grew up during the Great Depression. We lived in a rural area on a little farm. My father was a deacon of the local church there some 50 years. And he never missed a Sunday taking his family to church. Not sending us, but taking us. As we grew up, we knew that we were going to have to go to church. Nobody ever asked us. We wanted to go. We knew that we were going to have to go. And that's the way that I grew up. And as a result of the doctrine that we had in our little church, I missed many parts of the Bible. I was ordained as a young man into the ministry at 21 years of age, and then went into a secular law enforcement work for over 26 years, and at the same time continued to practice what I believed to be what the Lord had called me to do. And then on the 3rd day of August 1979, a paramedic judged me to be dead in an ambulance. A tremendous spiritual experience occurred in my life that day as my eyes was opened for the very first time to the reality of the spirit world. And the reality of everything that is happening is done by design. What's happening, what you're reading about in your newspaper, what you're looking at in the news on the television, these are not just accidents or happenings. These are all pre-designed. There is a method to the madness of our adversary, so to speak. Everything is planned in the spirit world and carried out down here. There is a war raging around each and every one of us, a war that we cannot see with our physical eyes. We have to see only with our spiritual eyes. We know that as we move into the beginnings of sorrows that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, that it is setting the stage for the final great judgment. God judges in three stages. Of course, but he judges in the remedial, preliminary, and final. And then in the final judgment, there are three categories of the final judgment. And that is, the last one is the judgment of the sinner. So we're getting real close to that as we march along to the drums that are beating today, set up by this adversary. We want to talk a little bit about a misconception of God Himself. So many Christians don't understand or don't have a clear picture of our God. How can we believe in a God that we don't understand? How can we believe in a God that we don't have a clear concept of Him in our mind? Or who is this God that we serve? The Bible tells us about an incident that occurred at the River Jordan, where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. As he came, a tremendous illustration of our God was given there that has literally divided theologians down through the ages. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. What we see here now is a manifestation of a triune God. We actually see in this verse of Scripture God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. Now, we know we have but one God because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom all are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom all are all things, and we by Him. So we see our God in this manifestation, you might say, right here, was the origin of a tremendously fast-growing false religion. There was a man who believed the Christians worshiped three gods. And as a result of this was the driving force behind the founding of the Muslim religion. But we know Islam is manifest, is the spirit of Persia being manifest today, as it was in Daniel's time. But to understand how God can be in three parts is extremely difficult for many Christians. Just as it's difficult for many Christians to understand that we ourselves are triune. We are body, spirit, and soul. Yet we look at ourselves as one single being. In fact, that's what we are, one single being. Yet we are in three parts, and so is our God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we see, as we look at this, that there's more to God than just the name. And in His name and in the names, there are numbers hidden in those names. And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. Hear his wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Revelation chapter 13, verse 17 through 18. Jesus' number in the Hebrew is number 8. And everybody, that number 8 stands for new beginning. Actually, it's his number is 888. And that is derived by counting the value of each letter of his name in Greek and adding the complete total, and it comes to 888. The number 8 in Scripture stands for new beginning or resurrection, new beginning. Now, the numbers are very important in this spirit world that we're talking about, too. Only they derive their numbers from a different method. It is called the base 9 system. And numbers are very important in names. But there's a whole lot more to three dimension in the name of our Lord and numbers in His name than just what we see on the surface. For instance, let's take the name of Jesus and see what all is in the name of Jesus. The Bible said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. It also said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither knoweth any man. The Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew 11:27. So we see that all power is given into the name of Jesus Christ. And power is what we're interested in now, especially in this times of beginnings of sorrow. Not that we might brag that we possess power, but that we might be prepared for this great battle that's coming.
because those who don't know their weapon and how to use it no doubt will perish in this great battle that's coming. Now, our weapon and the power, all powers, is in the name of Jesus Christ. We see listed in Scripture the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, verse 13 through 18, listed in seven separate pieces, and only one of those pieces is offensive, which is the word or the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, what we're getting to is, where is that word? And how do we use that sword? There will be no delivery from spirits. There will be no victory over the adversary. There will be no victory in this battle. No victory over disease or sickness, unless you are proficient at using the sword, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
You must be able to be a proficient sword fighter. You must be able to know and understand the Word of God. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who is the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. Luke chapter 10, verse 22. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. We cannot come to the Father. We have a priest through whom we must go to the Father, and that priest, of course, is Jesus Christ. All things are delivered unto him. All power is in his name, in the name of Jesus. Never say a prayer. Never ask for anything. Never begin a battle without using the name of Jesus Christ. He is the sword. He is the Word made flesh. And he is the victor. Without him, we will fail in every endeavor. Jesus knoweth that the Father hath given him all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. John 13, 3. We know the only way to reach God is through Jesus. We know everything must be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Hebrew chapter 2, verse 8. What did he say? That all things was put under subjection to him. Yet not yet all things. That seems like a double negative, doesn't it? We know that he is the ruler of all government. The Lord will send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Psalms 110, verse 2. As the ruler of all government, yet he has not taken the kingdoms of this world, has he? For he said, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that the God of this world, of course, is the adversary who rules this world. But we know one day the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. And he will rule the kingdoms of this world. But not yet. Not yet. But he's still the ruler of all governments. Still the ruler. For unto us the child is born, and unto us the son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. So we see that there is no end to the government that he will rule. No end. So that makes him ruler of all governments. Yet temporarily, the governments of this world are not yet under his control. But one day, they shall be. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. But all people, nation, and language shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7:14. All governments will cease to function save one. All governments have an end save one. All nations will come to an end save one kingdom. The kingdom and the government of Jesus Christ will have no end. It will have no end. God has put everything in the name of Jesus Christ. All power on earth, all power in creation, all power has been put in that name, in the name of Jesus Christ. No greater name, no other name whereby men may be saved. No way to come to the Father. No way to go into heaven. No one will arrive there except by the name of Jesus Christ and through and by his name. To attempt to enter heaven any other way, the Bible said, is as a thief. As a thief. There is no back door entrance into heaven. It is all done through Jesus Christ. All things are placed in his charge. He shall be great and shall be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Luke chapter 1 verse 32. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke 1 33. Not only is he the ruler of all governments. Not only will his government never end. Not only will his throne never cease. He is the ultimate judge. For the Father judgeth no man. You hear that? The Father judgeth no man. But he hath committed all judgment unto the Son. John chapter 5, verse 22. He was talking today about standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Did you know we too are going to be judged? Did you know we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ? We won't stand before the great white throne. That's where sinners stand. But we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will give an account of our activity. But we won't give an account for our sins because our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Then if we're not going to be judged for our sins, what are we going to be judged for? Why must we appear before the judgment seat of Christ if we have no sins? If his blood has washed away our sins, why must we appear? The Bible tells us that we must appear, that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Says we all, not talking about the world now, says we, W-E, look at that. Paul was writing to the church. He was talking to Christians. Said we must appear. Not the world. The sinner is not going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Christ will be the ultimate judge. He'll judge the sinner. But not at the time he judges us. See, there is a judgment for us. And there is a judgment for the sinner. And they're going to be separate. Did you know he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15, that our works will be tested. See, that's our judgment. Our ministry. Our works will be tested. They will be put to the test of the fire. If they burn up, it said, we will suffer loss. Yet we ourselves would be saved as though by fire. Well, somebody said, just to get into heaven's going to be all right. Some people even say, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land, I'll be satisfied. If you get to heaven before I do, just scratch a little hole and pull me through. Just any way to get there, they're saying. It's not going to be like that. It's not going to be like that. You can suffer loss. Think of this. Think upon it hard. What does it mean when he said that if your works burn up, you will suffer loss, yet you yourself will be saved as though by fire? What kind of loss will you suffer before the ultimate judge when you stand before him. If your works are nothing, what kind of loss shall we suffer? Now we know our sins won't be counted because he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:19. So if we confess, if we repent, this confession implies repentance, by the way. And you know what repentance means? It has three elements. Don't ever forget that. That's very important. Repentance has three elements. Number one, that we confess it. Number two, that we're genuinely sorry for it. Number three, that we turn from it. Those are the three elements of repentance. When we do that, he is just and faithful to forgive us. And when he forgives us, he wipes it out. It's not on the blotter anymore. He took his blood and washed our slate clean. So now when we stand before him, the book is open. And there is no sin marked against us. But now why are we standing there? What are we giving account for? Every second, every minute, every hour, every day of your saved life. What did you do with the time he gave you? What did you do with that time for the kingdom of God? What did you do with it? That's what he's going to ask of you. What kind of loss could we possibly suffer? What kind of loss? Daniel said in chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. What could that possibly be, everlasting contempt? Could it be, perhaps it might be, he could not say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Enter now into thy reward, and I will make you ruler over many. Could it be that you might miss hearing him say that as the ultimate judge? And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. With this judgment will be an execution of a sentence, so to speak. There will be Christians who suffer loss because they squandered their time, their ministry. They built with hay, wood, and stubble instead of precious metal and precious stone. As we stand before the ultimate judge, not only is he the ruler of governments, not only is he the door to the Father, not only is he the ruler or the ultimate judge, but he is the giver of life, the one that can give you water for which you'll never thirst again, the one that can give you everlasting life, the only one. He is the giver of life. As thou hast given him a power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, John 17:2. There is no way to eternal life save through Jesus Christ, through the name of Jesus Christ. We look at that name, and in that name we discover all power. We discover to him that believeth, all things are possible. Jesus spoke these words in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. To him that believeth. Can you believe? Can you believe? Now, this devil is a powerful adversary. He is a powerful adversary.
We read in the little book of Jude where Michael the archangel stood before him and dared not bring railing accusation against him. But he said, the Lord rebuked you, because he is a powerful adversary. We respect his ability, but we have no fear of him. For in us resides a greater one than he. If we know Jesus Christ, if we know him, we have the authority to use that name, to use that sword, before whom every spirit will bow, and every tongue will confess, and every being on the face of the earth, every being in creation, must bow before that name. What a weapon! A sword unstoppable. A sword that will deliver, and that will heal, and that will restore. Restore what? Every minute of your life this adversary has stolen from you. Every hour of your physical life, every pain you've suffered as a result of his buffet in your flesh, payment for that. All of this is possible to him that believes. Can you believe? Can you believe? He is the giver of life, the ruler of government, the ultimate judge. All power is given into his name. And he gave you as the believer the authority to use that name. Glory to God. Do you realize what that is? No, you don't. That's our whole trouble. You don't realize what it is. What a power exceeding any nuclear weapon ever created is the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God, there shouldn't be a sick person in this room tonight if you all know Jesus Christ as your Savior. There shouldn't be a demon-possessed individual in here if you know Jesus Christ, because you got the power to overcome every spirit and every sickness and every healing. Do you know what it is to use his name? Glory to God, what power! And we don't realize it. We don't realize it. We don't know what power's there. What did he say in his word? We perish for one reason only. A lack of knowledge. It is not knowledge of that government. It is not knowledge of the economy of the world situation. It is knowledge of God's word, the sword. The name of Jesus Christ. What power is in that name? Glory to God. I've been on this road some 22 years. Never set out on any trip. Sometimes we've averaged over 100,000 miles a year. I'm 74 years old, and the strongest piece of medicine I've taken is an aspirin. Now, he didn't say we wouldn't get a headache. He didn't say you wouldn't get a broken limb. But by his name, he said, no catastrophic disease would come to your door if you know him. If you know him. If you but believe. Can you believe? Without doubt. Can you believe? That's the question tonight. Can you believe? Well, if you can believe tonight, you'll go out of this room without that sickness. You'll leave it with the devil. But that don't mean he's going to let you alone. Oh, see, there is such thing as righteous anger. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
There's such thing as righteous anger. You get angry with the devil. You get angry with those demons. If you don't believe righteous angry works, make your spouse angry and see. It moves. It moves. It works. Jesus took the whip and he cleaned out the money changers out of the temple. He didn't say, would you please get out? He went through that like a raging bull. And he cleaned them out of the temple. We got an adversary out there that's going to run over you every day of your life if you let him. He's going to beat you down, and he's going to steal everything God gave you if you let him. And we let him. We perish for a lack of knowledge. We don't realize the power. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life.
and he shall come into condemnation. Not coming to condemnation, but he's passed from death unto life. John chapter 5, verse 24. Everlasting life. With all the money they have in the world, they can't buy. They can't buy everlasting life. With all the technology, the medicine or the science, how they can't produce life. They can't do it. They say that they're going to clone humans. Well, God cloned us. He said he made us in his image. And if we look up the definition of that word used to describe image, we'll see that it carries the same thing as the word clone. God cloned us. So we know cloning is possible since God did it. And we see in Revelation that they're going to clone the adversary. They're going to make an image. And that word image carries the same definition as the word in Genesis carried. And the same definition as the word clone. But that's not creating life. God is the giver of life. The only one that can give both physical life and spiritual life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. John 5, 25. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given it to the Son to have life in himself. John chapter 5, verse 25. Life comes only by the word of God. Salvation only by his name. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, 12. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 13. Now that word calls not, hey Lord, I want to be saved. It goes much deeper than that. Much deeper than that. But it means exactly what it said. In his day Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord of our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6. He's going to save Israel in one day, the Bible said. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 33:16. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. So we see the name of Jesus and what's in his name. Through his name is the only way that we can know God. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. God cannot be revealed, or will not be revealed, to anyone save by Jesus Christ. So we see all of these false gods around the world. All these different names. We see people dying in the name of their God. And their God is not even real. There is but one God. And there is but one door to come to him. There is only one way to know him, and that is through the name of Jesus Christ. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that same hour. Acts 16:18. We saw the name of Jesus Christ. Not the words of Paul, but the name of Jesus Christ. Produce a deliverance there instantly. In the name of Jesus, he said, I command you to come out of her. And in that same hour, she was delivered. The name of Jesus did the work. It was the sword. But the sword just does not work by itself. It needs a hand to hold it in. And only the hand that is authorized to use the sword will be able to make it do the work. We see that watching this and watching Paul at work, these seven sons of the high priest decided that they was going to deliver a person this way, because the Bible said they were vagabond exorcists. That means they were traveling over the countryside holding a deliverance ministry. Didn't know the Lord, didn't know the name of Jesus Christ, yet they must have been doing something that appeared to bring results, because the people came to see them. And they were able to go from place to place. They were vagabond or traveling exorcists who were going to different places and holding deliverance ministries, but they didn't know Jesus Christ. And we don't know what kind of show they might be like some of these people I see casting spirits out of houses and everything by shaking holy water, or they might have been using the eye of the newt, or no telling what they were using. I don't know what they were using, but they wasn't using the name of Jesus. And they didn't have a physical manifestation to the extent that Paul did, because they themselves were amazed at what they saw when Paul used the name of Jesus. And they went forth and tried to cast the spirit out of a little individual. And he, when they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, we command you to come out. In the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out." This spirit replied. He spoke to the little man, to the seven sons, and said to them, "Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you?" And the Bible said he jumped on them, and they fled, wounded and naked. Now, why didn't the sword work for them? Because they used the name of Jesus, just as Paul used the name of Jesus. But it didn't work for them, because they did not have the authority to use it. Authority, therefore, comes to him that believes. Hear that? It was given, Mark 9:23, to him that believeth, all things are possible. Then he goes on to say that in the Great Commission, that he that believe in my name shall cast out devils. He didn't say he that was saved, he that was a church member, he that was a preacher, he that was a minister. He said he that believeth. Now, you say all saved people are believers. Well, they were when they got saved, but don't mean they can't have a moment of doubt. You see, Jesus said this, Matthew 17:22. When the disciples said unto him, "How come we couldn't cast out these spirits?" He said, "Because of your unbelief." And they were saved. Every one of them was saved. But they didn't believe. At that moment, they didn't believe in that sword, in that power, in that word. Now, that's what it's going to take for you. To bring back that which he's stolen from you. Every hour you hurt, every sickness you dealt with, every pain, it all comes as a result of this attack. He buffets your flesh, and he tries to sell you every disease in the book. And we've all experienced those symptoms, haven't we? See? And if we believed them, we would have the disease, wouldn't we? We would bought it. That's how he sells it. He hits you with the symptoms. You've got to learn to call him a liar. You've got to believe that the sword is your deliverer, the word of God. Amen. He is the one. Did you know the world hates those that preach in the name of Jesus? And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:18. For teaching in the name of Jesus. They ridicule you for teaching in the name of Jesus. You know what they think about you out there in that world? We ought to rejoice. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. If you preach in the name of Jesus, the world is going to hate you. And we see that manifest about us every day. He is Savior and Lord. A lot of people want him to be their Savior, but they don't want him to be their Lord. Now, you can't have him that way. You got to take him as Lord and Savior. Savior and Lord. See, a lot of people want to be saved by him, but they don't want to be ruled by him. That's what Lord is. Lord is ruler of life. If he's your Lord, he rules your life. He is ruler of life. So therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. He is Savior and Lord. And unless he's your Lord, you're lacking. You're lacking. It's not sufficient just to be a Savior. See, he told me that when I stood before him. He said, I called him Lord, but I never made him Lord. What a difference. To call him Lord gives him a title. To make him Lord makes him ruler of life. Ruler of life. Who is your Lord? See, that's where we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where some of us is going to suffer loss. Some to everlasting shame and contempt. Others, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Enter now into thy reward, and I will make thee ruler over many. You don't know how close we are to coming to that day where we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, to give an account of our stewardship. What are we going to do with all the sands of time that is spilled from the hourglass that he gave us? Are we going to bring the water back that has run under the bridge, or shall we pick up the milk that has been spilt? What shall we do? How can we correct it? Well, you know, our God is a merciful God. Perhaps we can plead ignorance before him and say, Lord, I did not understand. I did not know. Forgive me. The devil blinded my eyes. He blinded my mind. He blinded my understanding. I repent today. Start my stewardship anew. Give me this day a new hourglass of time. Watch me now as I go forth this day from now on. And remind me every day that the hourglass of time is running out. It's running out. You know, he also will rule the physical world. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. See, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord one day. Now, the world is seemingly going to triumph over the Christians for a short period of time. We're the generation that's probably responsible for that. We probably failed in our commission to go forth and adequately evangelize the world to the truth of what's happening. We see today our heritage as Christians actually rest in England, so to speak. And back in the 80s, the last time I was in England, I believe was 87 or 88. At that time, they told me only 15% of the population of England professed Christianity. Only 15%. And I was over in France, they told me only 2%. In France, profess Christianity, and we look and see in America when I was a little boy. Growing up, everybody went to church. It was a Christian nation. Every meeting, public meeting, opened and closed with a prayer. The most respected man in the community was the church pastor. Today, they respect a used car salesman more than they do a church pastor. Not that I'm knocking a used car salesman. I'm just using it as an illustration to show how far away from Christ our nation has gone so quickly. That we are now in a post-Christian nation, that the majority of the people in this nation don't really know what it means to be a true soul doctor. We have many people professing Christianity with their mouth in this nation, but not that many has made him Lord. Many claims him as their Savior, but very few have made him Lord, so to speak. Yes, the world is going to make war with the saints in that final great battle. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. Revelation 17:14. Where will you be? I will go with you, Lord. Where you don't have a pillar, where you don't have a roof, even to the cross. Are we ready to say that? Reading Fox's Book of Martyrs, I read where they brought a family out before in the Colosseum in Rome, where they was persecuting Christians, and they said to the man, the head of the house, he was the only one that mattered, he was the only one that counted. They said to him, "Now, renounce Jesus Christ and hail Caesar. And take your family and go home." If he refused, they would throw his children to the lions in front of him. And then they would say to him, "Now, renounce Jesus Christ, hail Caesar, take your wife and go home." If he still refused, they would throw his wife to the lion. And then they would ask him, "Renounce Jesus Christ, hail Caesar, and go home." And if he refused, they would throw him last to the lion. I trust that we never have to stand that kind of test. I can't stand here and say I could pass it. I hope I never have to undergo such a... I believe that I could let them throw me to the lion. But could I stand and watch my family being thrown to the lion? Could I? Lord, I pray every day that never have to face that test. But we may have to face something similar to that. As we move toward the end of this time of the beginnings of sorrows. And what was the key to recognize the beginnings of sorrows? The key was wars and rumors of war. Have you turned your television on a news channel lately? Have you picked up a newspaper lately? Have you listened to the radio lately? You can't read the paper, listen to the television, or the radio without hearing the word war. Rumors of war. Rumors of war. The key to the beginnings of sorrow. We are the generation that's ushering in the final great judgment. Three final judgments. Judgment of the nation, the judgment of the Christians, the judgment of the lost. And then the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, everything is possible to him that believes in the name of Jesus. We're going to need to know the power of this name in the coming days more than any time in the history of the church. For the greatest battle facing the church is just over yonder horizon. It's coming upon this generation. And so many
Christians are ill prepared for what's about to happen. My friends, we're just 7 short steps from eternity. 7 steps. Remember that. We are 7 steps short of eternity. Now, next meeting, we're going to talk about those 7 steps. How close we are to eternity. Are you ready? Are you ready? The battle is already underway. Look at the wounds of the soldiers. So many have been wounded. Some to the point it seems absolutely beyond redemption. But there is no wound too bad for our Lord to heal. He can heal any wound. No burden too great. No burden too small. He is Lord of all. He is ruler of all things. He is the King. All in the name of Jesus Christ. If you can believe. Can you believe? Without doubt. Can you believe? Can you believe? Lord, help me believe. To believe is to be more like Thee. More like Thee. As we walk down life's dusty road, let us learn to lift somebody's load. We don't want riches untold, silver or gold. All we want is to be more like Thee. Can we say that? Honestly say that? Remember He said, the foxes have their hole, the birds have their nest, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay His head. I have traveled this globe 3 times in the past 22 years. I've been in Africa. I've been in Europe. I've been in Asia. I've been all around the world. But you know, I never fail to go to bed at night without a roof over my head. I never had to sleep in the open. I've had a pillow every night. Oh, I'll admit sometimes it was straw, but we had a pillow. He didn't even have that. I imagine that he rolled up his cloak and lay his head on it when he slept. But you know, nobody's ever spit on me. Nobody's ever nailed me to a tree. Nobody's ever cut my back open with a whip or crowned my head with a crown of thorns or stuck me in the side with a spear. They did all of that to him. Who am I that I would ask him for a bed of roses? He suffered all that for me. For you? Who would do that for you? Are you ready now to say, Lord, I'll go with Thee. Wherever you go, I'll go with Thee. I will go with Thee no matter where. There's a starting place. We're going to fight that enemy. And if we have faith, if we believe, we can win. We won't, we don't want to challenge him. You go by a neighbor's house, he's got a Rottweiler tied on a thin rope. You don't want to say, yeah, 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 to that dog. You won't walk around him, you see. You don't want to agitate that dog. You don't go looking for the devil. But when he comes looking for you, be ready for him. See, it's given unto you to be victorious in your own house over this enemy. But we allow him to steal from us every day. And he had no right to do it. He did it with lies, deception, strength. And we perish for lack of knowledge. Today we want it back. Everything he's stolen from us, he wants it back. Would you stand with me a moment before us, Brother Glenn, to close? I want to give you an opportunity tonight to put your faith into action.
You got a problem? Whatever it is. You got an affliction in your body? You need a special touch of God's hand? I want to give you that opportunity tonight. Perhaps you don't know for sure that your name is written in his book. Perhaps you've never made a public commitment for him. Perhaps you have. And perhaps you're just under an extra heavy ordinary attack of doubt tonight. Or perhaps you have a special request that will make you a better soldier in the coming days. You may be delivered, maybe need to be delivered from some secret sin that you just can't seem to get rid of. You can't seem to overcome. If you can believe in the name of Jesus Christ, if you can believe in the power of that name tonight, then come down here and stand before this altar and we'll pray for you just like the Bible said. And I believe this word is going to set you free. Come on down here and stand up in front of here. We're going to say, the Bible said, if you had a need in your life, come to the elders of the church who would pray over you the prayer of faith. And that prayer would set you free. We're going to anoint you with oil. Do we have some here?
Where'd the bottle of oil go?
Okay, somebody, the devil's been down here and he stole our bottle of oil. So we're just going to create some, right? By the word of God, by the power of God. We believe it's here. We believe it's real. And we said, in the name of Jesus, we're going to do it. One by one, we're going to anoint each person that stands here tonight. You have your request. You have your need. Now, you believe with me. I believe it's done in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe it's done. Now, this enemy, we're going to set you free by the power of God tonight. Whatever it is, if there's a sickness in you, if you're a special need, if you haven't been saved, whatever it is that you came down here for, you just give it to the Lord from your heart. You tell God right in your mind, because God can read minds. He reads the thoughts of men. He knows the intents of your heart, and he knows what you need. Now, tell him, first, repent.
Well, it hasn't run dry.
Okay, praise the God. There it is. See, the Lord has filled it up. Praise God. He has done that tonight. He knows it's very important. We'll put a little bit on your finger there, brother, and you just come with me. We start. I'm going to anoint my sister in the name of Jesus Christ, my brother in the name of Jesus Christ, my brother in the name of Jesus Christ, my brother in the name of Jesus Christ, my sister in the name of Jesus Christ, my sister in the name of Jesus Christ, and my sister in the name of Jesus Christ, and my sister in the name of Jesus Christ. I come according to your word, Father, in this Bible. I stand on that word here where you said that if any had need, they would come to the elders of the church. I am an elder of your church by your appointment. And I stand publicly and make that confession before men. Standing upon this word, Father, I anoint these in your name. I pray over them the prayer of faith tonight. I believe your word, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. I command that it is done according to your word. You have heard the petition of every heart standing here. These petitions rest before your throne tonight. And in the name of Jesus, every devil, every foul and evil spirit is hereby declared a defeated foe henceforth and forevermore. And come and attack these individuals no more. Father, I believe you will give them wisdom to keep the door closed. I believe tonight you have set them free. I believe tonight this healing has taken place. I believe tonight this salvation has come. I believe tonight these are your future soldiers that will stand and serve you as Lord of their life. And all the world will know and see you manifested in their life. I thank you for each and every one of them, Father. In your precious name, I declare that it is done by your word tonight. It is complete, it is whole, it is done, and we thank you publicly. In the name of Jesus Christ, all of these requests have been placed before your altar tonight. And according to this word, you have received them, and you have given them the answer already. It's done. In your precious name, thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Glory. Thank you. Praise God. It is done. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Glory to God. It's done. Hold on to that word. Thank you. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sister. God loves you very much. It's done. You believe it. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. You receive it. Don't doubt. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.